Welcome, welcome. So in this audio, I'm going to share a story, a wonderful story with you, a universal story. You will experience something like this in your own life. If you haven't already, you are definitely going to experience some version of this story in your journey through life. This is the biggest, most potent shift that can ever occur in a human soul. And once this shift happens, you are on the path to freedom. And getting on the path, just getting on the path, is the most significant thing that will ever happen to you, because just simply being on the path, really being on the path to freedom, allows you to experience the things and create the things and become the things that you are destined to become. But if you're not on the path, then none of those things are even an option. They don't even exist. And so I'll share this story with you. This is my story. And I'm sharing this to help you understand yourself better, understand the path better, and understand where you are going, where you were, and where you are right now. So when I was a teenager, like many other teenagers, I used to spend most of my time in what I would consider now as narcissistic indulgence. The teenage years for most of us are years of absolute madness and just experimenting and doing everything possible that is bad for us. And the teenage years, by the way, the teenager, the archetype of the teenager, that energy often continues far beyond the teenage years. There are many people in their 50s, 60s, 70s who are still acting like teenagers even at that older age where you'd expect them to be more mature. So the teenage archetype is in itself an energy frequency that often comes and goes, but for some people it carries on. So this happened to me when I was actually a teenager, but this same thing might happen to somebody else when they're a lot older. So for me, I spent, you know, the teenage years from, you know, 13 to 18 basically doing every crazy thing I could think of. I was the son of a preacher man. My dad was the local priest. And as it's quite commonly known, the vicar's sons, the priest's sons, tend to be naughty boys. So my brother and I were very naughty and spent our time doing everything that was told we shouldn't do. We did all of those things. And we ended up doing vast amounts of drugs, smoking, drinking, and everything in the middle, vandalizing public buildings. I even had the police around a couple of times to our house. So we were up to, you know, mischief, up to no good, really. And, you know, it's fun. It's exciting to do naughty things. It's very exciting. That's why people do it. So I spent a lot of time doing all the drugs I could get my hands on, doing the most crazy things, bungee jumping, traveling around, you know, just whatever I wanted to do. I had options. I was very blessed in terms of I could do lots of cool things. So I did everything I could. And I remember when I was about 18, I think I was just over 18, I went to Africa on a safari with my dad and brother, and it was an extreme, extreme indulgence trip. We ended up consuming such vast amounts of alcohol and cannabis that I'm surprised we didn't just die right there, quite frankly. It was absurd. And as much as all these things at the time appeared to be a good laugh, you know, I thought I was having fun. A lot of us, I think, when we're in that stage, think we're having a good laugh. When I got back from Africa to England, all of a sudden my whole world started to collapse. And the good times, the things that I considered good times, seemed to be elusive. No matter what I did, who I spent time with, where I went, it seemed like the walls were caving in on me from all sides, from every angle. Things were starting to crush me. And I remember having this experience once that was absolutely shocking to me. I had always been into the best of the best, so I always wanted the best clothes, the best drugs, the best of everything. And I had all the best stuff. And I got the best stuff to make me feel better. And I remember this shocking reality for that all of a sudden, doesn't matter how much drugs or alcohol or situations or clothes or things or shopping I did, doesn't matter what I did or how good it was, it stopped having any effect on me at all. And it was absolutely shocking because this is what my life's about. I'm trying to like feel better based on things. And all of a sudden, all those things have no impact. So I remember one time having the best drugs, the best this, and I consumed all these things and I felt nothing. It was almost like I couldn't get high anymore. My level of joy wasn't able to be raised. And no matter what I did, it wouldn't budge. Weeks went up past where no matter what I did, who I spent time with, what shopping I did, what drugs I did, people, drugs, situations, whatever, nothing could shift my mood. It was like there was this heavy cloud hanging around my head, following me about day and night. My dreams were dark, my days were dark, everything became dark, and nothing would shift it. So up until this point, you know, I was thinking I was having a jolly old time and it was the best ever. But it started just to become darker and darker and darker, and nothing would move that energy. Nothing would shift it. And I started to realize that my entire life was a sham. I was living like a shell existence. My whole life was like a shell. There was nothing there. It was just empty, empty, empty death. I was dead. I was dead inside of me. And I couldn't speak to anyone about this because no one really I knew would understand what I was going through, because it seemed everyone else was kind of getting on with things and they were all right. No one understood what I was going through, and I felt I was all alone experiencing this pain, this death, this emptiness, this huge hole that I tried to fill with drugs and alcohol and women and whatever, and it wasn't going to be filled anymore. It just didn't work. I tried to make that hole full and feel better, but nothing made any difference. And that was when I realized for the first time that my life was a complete disaster. That was when I could finally put my hand up in the air and say, I've got some serious problems here. I'm a complete addict to all this stuff. And the way I've been living has ruined my life. Yeah. This is just one part of the story. Reaching this point, I want you to think about this in your own life. Have you reached a point where you're willing to put your hand up in the air and say, something is terribly, terribly wrong. Something is wrong. I admit something is wrong. And I'm open to something else. So just ask yourself this, because this is a critical thing. And like I said earlier, this is our story. It's a human story. You know, we all have to reach this point on our own. It took me years to reach this place. Some people, it takes them their whole lives. They only reach this place when they're, you know, way older, on their deathbed, they might realize it. I was lucky that it only took me 18 years to get to the point where I'd hit the bottom. I was scraping the bottom of the barrel and nothing was working for me. And that was when I finally said, right, it's not that I don't want to carry on doing it. I mean, I am addicted to all this stuff, but I realize it just isn't working. And I humbly acknowledge that. that was a breakthrough moment for me, just having that humility, because I was so caught up in my ego and so caught up in my mad ideas and narcissism and running around and wanting all this stuff, so trapped in it all, that I would never have admitted that to myself. Someone could have said to me, you're an addict, you know, you're wasting your life, and I would deny it, violently deny it. I remember people tried to tell me that, saying, what's wrong with you? Why, you know, why don't you do more with your life? And I just refused to even listen to them. But when I hit the bottom and I was in this dark, dark, dark hole with no help on my own, then I finally put my hand in the air and said, my life is a complete mess. I am dead on the inside and I'm ready to change. And it was at that point that I became open, just genuinely open to the idea that there is a higher way, a higher path, a higher power. And being brought up as, you know, Christian, part of my dad was the priest, you know, I was the preacher's son. So obviously, you know, I used to go to church and everything. So it's not like I didn't know about there being a God or anything like that, but I wasn't practicing any of it. And I didn't really feel anything from any of those things at the time. So I wouldn't consider myself an atheist, but I was just not into any of the stuff at all. And so, but when I hit the bottom and I said, look, my life's a disaster, and I'm aware that consumerism and drugs and alcohol and shopping and everything hasn't worked for me. Yeah. I mean, it's, so I'm open to something else. I'm open to something else because that has totally failed me. And it was at that stage that I accepted my mother's kind offer to teach us, me and my friends, meditation. I'm not sure if they were feeling the same thing as I was. Maybe they were feeling internally conflicted and depressed. They probably were, but we never really talked about it. But anyway, we accepted the invitation that she offered to us to sit and learn meditation from her. So we went into her room, and we all sat on the floor, and she explained certain things to us. And one of the things she explained that I do remember her telling us was that you are not your body. You are actually a spiritual being. You are consciousness. You are light. You're not the person you seem to be in the mirror. You are a spiritual being, a spiritual being. And I remember that really touched me. We had a few sessions. I can't remember which was which, but I remember when she said that, it touched a deep part of me. And I felt relief for the first time because I felt so lost. I felt so lost thinking that, well, I just didn't know who I was. I mean, here I am in this world wandering around trying to feel better about myself, doing all this stuff, all these people and parties and stuff, just completely lost. When she said to me, you're a spiritual being, I was like, all right, well, thank God for that. Something stable, you know, this is an eternal experience. I am something beyond all of these details. And it really hit me. It really touched me deep in my heart. And I felt, I don't really know what that means exactly, that I'm a spiritual being, but it feels right. It feels true. And that was enough. That was a huge breakthrough because it helped me just a little bit come out of this spin, this cycle of madness that I was stuck in, this cycle of addiction, cycle of craving, cycle of trying to get things and trying to fit in and trying to make something work. I kind of felt like I was eased out of that into a stable place for a few moments. And it was so refreshing just to have that experience. And then, shortly after that, I'm not sure if it was the same session or if it was a different one, I don't remember. But we were sitting there with my mother, my friends, and she said, all right, well, this is all a lot of information. Let's do a meditation. And I'd never done meditation before. I'd had lots of drug experiences. I'd had all sorts of strange moments on psychedelic drugs, so I knew what, you know, altered states of consciousness was like. But I'd never done any meditation. So she said, all right, let's just do meditation. So we sat there. I have no idea what she said, no idea what happened. All I remember is being pulled out of my body, and taken into a world of white light. I was in another dimension, entirely another dimension, where I was not aware of the physical world that we're used to experiencing. And the only thing I could see was that I was in a light body, like an angelic body, subtle body. And I was walking down a path in this different world. And there was these hills and this path. And it seemed quite natural, actually. I wasn't really aware that I was somewhere else, really. I was just fully there, so it seemed normal, like a dream does. So I was walking along this path in this other world, and sooner or later, I came to a fork in the road. And that's when I sort of stopped and realized that I was in this other world, and I was not. This is something strange going on here. And so it was at that point that I had awareness that there was now two paths. A new path had emerged for me in my life, a new path. And I could see that the lower path, the one path went down the hill and the other path went up the hill. And the lower path was the path that I was already on, the path of trying to feel good through indulgence and shopping and people and relationships, sex and, you know, get stuff and things and whatever, the whole worldly path that I'd already been experiencing, that had made me terribly depressed. And I could see, I had a premonition, I could actually see the future. I could see the future. I could see 2 years into the future. And I saw what I would be like if I carried on the way I was in 2 years. I would be more depressed, I would be more addicted, and my life would start falling to pieces. It was already pretty terrible anyway. So I could really feel that. I could see that. I lived that life for 2 years in this vision very quickly. Yeah, it's like when people have near-death experiences, they have a life review where they experience what happened in their life so far. I felt like I experienced a premonition of 2 years worth of experiences in a split second. And I knew that that was not really a good option for me, you know. And then I looked at this new path, something that I'd never experienced before. This is completely new to me. And in this new path, this was a path of light, a path of purity, a path of peace, and a path of natural happiness. Natural happiness, happiness for no reason. And I saw myself having experience of that 2 years in the future as well, where I was wearing all white and in a state of grace and peace and bliss. And this was a path where I was connected to a higher power. This was a path of spiritual energy and spiritual love and spiritual power that I'd never really experienced before. So this was my introduction, my introduction to the spiritual world in this other dimension. And I knew, my heart knew, this is it. I mean, this is it. There's obviously, you have to do this, you know. And I was aware that this is a very, very, very big decision, because what I'm committing to, and this is all happening in another world, it's not even in my life at this point, but what I was aware of is that making this commitment really is a commitment to a higher power, to a spiritual energy, to a spiritual principles, to a spiritual life, really, to living in alignment with truth rather than feeding my endless desires of the ego. So even though I wasn't sitting there thinking about all this in that experience, but this all happened in instant. You know, I'm explaining it now, but this all happened like that. And I was aware this is about committing to a divine life and abandoning my trust in these other lower things that had clearly ruined my life. And I was just so obvious to me that this is the only way to go. So I took the first step onto this path in this other world. And I felt the grace. I felt the grace of God, the grace of light, yeah, the grace of this divine presence, this beautiful light over me. And I felt as if I'd been anointed with divinity and bliss and power and peace. Yeah, I felt like I almost as if I'd been given a halo, or I didn't feel like I had a halo, but it felt like I was given a light body. Felt like my spiritual body, my spiritual energy was activated, yeah, through grace. So all of a sudden, so just before that, I'm this total addict, and all of a sudden I've been divinely blessed by making that first commitment, by making that choice, by choosing to surrender my life and align myself with this pure energy. I was blessed with spiritual powers. And so then I came back into the body, and I was like, whoa. I mean, when I came back, I realized what just happened. So I was sitting there, and I kind of didn't really know where I was for a moment. I opened my eyes and looked around, and I'm sitting on the floor in this room with my friends and my mother sitting there. No one else knew anything. I kind of expected they would think that I'd passed out, or I don't know, but no one knew anything. They might have not even been a second. You know, these spiritual experiences are outside of time. So this might have happened in a split second. So nothing happened to anyone. No one else would have seen anything. But I came back, and I was activated. I was changed. Yeah, this power had come into me, and it was it's like this light body, this spiritual energy, had been activated through divine grace. It wasn't my energy. Obviously, this had nothing to do with me, because I wasn't able to pull myself out of my body. I wasn't able to have any visions. I wasn't able to see the future before. I wasn't able to have any of this stuff. So this was a higher power. I had handed myself over to a higher power, humbly recognizing that the old way had failed me, and massively was blessed. So anyway, I was like, whoa. And I didn't feel like I could even share that with anyone, because it was so sacred to me. I didn't say anything. And I was just like, I stood up after the class, walked out the room, and it was as if I was living in another world. And from that moment, my interest in drugs and consumption and all that just disappeared. It was just gone. It was shocking. It's like day and night. Day before, addict, wanting, craving. Next day, like, totally different reality. And within about, this is in November 1997. So within 6 to 8 weeks, I'd completely ended all of my old lifestyle and relationships. Basically, I kind of closed a chapter. All my friends thought, what the hell has happened to him? Yeah, because you know, like, just a couple of weeks ago, there is Brother Michael out there getting his 10 pints a night and, you know, doing all this stuff. And now he's like, don't go out anymore. And he's just meditating. So all of a sudden, in January, I had another spiritual experiences that kind of went even more powerful, where I had more visions of myself and my past and my future. And that's when I committed consciously to a spiritual life. And I decided to go to the meditation center every morning. And I spent the next 8 months meditating for several hours a day and studying spiritual teachings. So I had a part-time, I was doing a part-time college course one day a week on a Tuesday. The rest of the time, I was sitting on the floor meditating and going beyond. And I remember one evening shortly after all this had happened, and I'd committed to the practices. So I would wake up very early in the morning, I'd go to a meditation center, I'd be doing the practices. So I really committed to the practice. And I remember one evening on a Friday night, lying in bed on the floor. I started sleeping on the floor. I don't know, I just felt like this, you know, it had to be done. You know, so I had this like a duvet cover on the floor. I didn't even have a mattress. It just felt better. And Friday night, lying on the floor, 8 o'clock. Normally I would be out with all my friends getting high on various things. And I was the happiest, most joyful state I've ever experienced up until that moment. Just lying in my bed on the floor at 8 o'clock at night in ecstatic joy and profound bliss. So much bliss. I think I actually had tears of joy just lying there in bed at 8 o'clock on a Friday night that I'd finally woken up. And now my life made sense and my life had meaning. And so that was my childhood days, if you like, of spiritual awakening. And the reason I shared this story, and it's changed my life completely, because from there on, you know, everything I did was different, yeah? Totally different. So my friends would change. I changed my friends. Actually, a lot of my friends were like, what happened to him? And I just told them what I was doing, what I was experiencing. And nearly all of my closest friends started doing the meditation as well, started coming for meditation in the morning. And we had a whole bunch of us, you know, who we just blew everything out, gave everything up completely. You know, we became like monks, you know, all of us. So there's like the lads about the town, like rowdy, getting in fights and like up to all sorts of mischief. And next thing you know, everyone's these sort of saintly brothers wearing their wonderful, you know, blessing everyone. And like, so it was a shocking transformation. And I think all our parents were probably a bit surprised as well. We were only 18, you know. So this is all completely down to a higher power. Completely. Undoubtedly. Like without a question of a doubt. None of this was possible up until that moment. And I just want to explain to you what occurred here, because this is, like I said, a universal story. So I've actually explained three critical steps in the journey. Step number one is recognizing humbly that the old path, living in the old paradigm, the old life, the life of consumption and addiction, has failed us. Yeah, I was not willing to admit that for a very long time. But finally, I realized that I was miserable as hell. And I hated myself and my life. And it just wasn't working. I finally reached a point where I was honest enough to admit that it was a total disaster. So that's step one, yeah? I mean, have you taken that step? That's what we have to ask. Because we can't move on. And none of these other things would have been possible without that happening first. Just humility. Look, you know what? This doesn't work. Step two was being open to a higher power, a higher life, a higher way of living. Just being open to it, yeah? Open to what that might be without making any, you know, necessarily any commitments or anything, but just openness to it. And then the magic happened when I committed, when I basically handed my life over to a spiritual energy. Now, this might sound alarming because the ego doesn't like that idea that you should hand yourself over to God. You know, it sounds like, oh my God, what's going to happen? You know, it's not a religious thing. Yeah, this is what we're doing is aligning ourselves with spiritual power. We're aligning ourselves with truth. We're aligning ourselves with the way that life actually works. It's kind of like going along with life rather than fighting with life. So up until that point, I was fighting with life. And then I finally decided, look, I can't fight anymore because it's made me miserable. It hasn't worked. So I'm going to stop fighting and I'm going to start being aligned with this spiritual energy and experiencing what it's like to be comforted and to be supported by my higher energy. And as soon as I made that commitment to be just to be open to be supported by this love and this light, immediately, in my case, some people it's not immediate, but for me, I felt like I was graced, like the grace of the Almighty was upon me. And I was blasted with it. And I'd never experienced anything like this in my life before. Yeah, this is all new to me, but I felt it. Yeah, I made that commitment. I can't handle this on my own. I need help from a divine energy source, yeah, spiritual energy. And I was willing to stop feeding the narcissistic ego and surrender myself, give myself over, like align my life with spiritual power. Ah, what a blessing. And then the third step was committing to go deeper into that through having a spiritual lifestyle, So that's when I started getting up early and meditating. That's when I stopped drinking and doing drugs. I'm like, you know what? Doing tons of drugs and drinking is not supporting my spiritual lifestyle. It's a distraction from it. Yeah. So I said, just blow it all out. You know, it's not like the body needs massive doses of drugs and alcohol. It doesn't need any of it, yeah? So I said, you know what? I'm going to just go deeper into this so that I can really can feel natural happiness, because what I realize is that spiritual energy is natural joy. Natural joy is better than drugs and alcohol, better than sex, drugs, and alcohol. I mean, it's natural. It happens on its own without anyone involved or without any substances involved. Yeah, we don't need all these different things. We don't need shopping. We don't need, you know, all this stuff to feel good. It's natural joy is already there. And I realized this and I said, I'm going to commit myself to a life where I go deeper into that experience. And then once I started actually going to meditation every day and doing all these things, then all sorts of magical things started happening shortly after that as well. You know, because the sustenance, the continuity, the ongoing refinement of one's consciousness leads to magical experiences and powerful states of being that aren't possible if you only do it on occasion. So someone who's like, oh, I do a meditation once every 2 months on a Friday, that's not going to be the same as somebody who does it every day and goes deeper and deeper and deeper. Anyone who's an expert in anything is practicing and allowing themselves to gradually become masterful through the personal experience. So the first step was humbly recognizing that the old ways failed me. Second step was, you know, being open to a higher path and then committing to align myself with a higher path, a higher energy field, rather than the ego. That's a big one. Step number two, I think, is critical. And by the way, it's not like I came up with these steps and thought about them. This is what just happens. This is just a natural occurrence that happens to all of us. And then once we've made that commitment to align with this power, then the next thing is to ground it in, sustain it, ground it into our life so that we can really run with that, you know? It's like if someone wants to become a world famous tennis player, right? And they say, I'm going to do it. All right, great. So then they better start playing tennis. Do you know what I mean? They can't just think about playing tennis once in that while. They've got to play tennis. So once you make the commitment that you're going to become a spiritual, activated spiritual being, then obviously practice and going deeper and deeper and deeper. And then I start experiencing altered states of consciousness easier and easier and easier. And I remember one time sitting there in meditation and literally being blasted with so much pure love, divine love from a higher power, divine love, that I literally had to hold on to the chair from falling over. It was just like I was standing in a waterfall. You know, this happened just shortly after I started the practice. I think I've been doing it for about a month. And then one morning, it was just like, boom. I was like, oh my God, this is so potent. I never experienced anything like that. That was like way beyond anything I'd experienced up till that point. And I remember coming home, talking to my friend who was living with me at the time, and I said, I don't know what's going on, but this has nothing to do with me because I've never experienced anything like that. And I explained to him, you know, this has to be a higher power, yeah, because that just doesn't happen. I've done nothing is like it. And so all I did was share my stories with my friends. And they were all just like, well, this sounds better than drugs. It's better than what we've been doing, you know. So then they started getting into it. And all of our lives radically changed. And then, of course, it's all about the journey, okay. And we'll talk about that another time. But I just wanted to share this story with you. And it's not really a special story. It might sound a bit special, but really this is a story that happens to all of us in different ways. You know, that I could put together, you know, thousands of stories from various people, and it would pretty much be the same as what I've shared with it, with personal twist to it. So this is the same for you. You realize that the old way is just not really working out. You're open to a new way, and then you commit to this higher energy. You know, you realize that the old ego-based method is just a disaster, and then commit to just enjoying the support and the blessings from a higher energy. That's a huge shift. And then sustain it, then get on the path and stay on the path. And then as a result of that, all these magical things have happened. You know, I've ended up traveling all over the world, cool places, doing what I love, setting up all these companies. I mean, all this stuff, to me, it's all just like a wonder. I'm sort of a witness of it. You know, right now I'm looking over just fantastic views, pristine nature. You know, it's absurd, the level of blessings. But it just happens as a result of being on the path, not through personal effort, you know. That's not to say that I haven't made any effort, but the main effort that I make is realize that I'm not doing anything. I don't know how these audios get done. I don't know how I've managed to write so many books. I don't know how I've created all these courses. All this stuff to me is a mystery. It's a mystery. It's a complete mystery, and it occurs thanks to a higher power. I really can't take credit for any of this stuff. The ego, personality, is weak and incapable of any of these things. And when we get ourselves out of the way and we surrender and we become instruments, that's when the magic happens. And it's fascinating, absolutely fascinating. The most beautiful things happen automatically through divine grace, through amazing grace. You've heard the word amazing grace. What does it mean? Amazing grace only occurs when we have abandoned the old path and are willing to align ourselves with a higher power. And as soon as we do that, the amazing grace starts to flow in our lives, and then wonderful things begin to occur beyond anything we can even imagine. I could not even imagine the sort of experiences that I've had and the sort of life that I've lived. Couldn't even imagine it. Couldn't even literally visualize it. I couldn't sit there and just come up with this stuff before. Yeah, no idea. So it's been way better than my dreams and what I was even capable of thinking about. So the best, the absolute best thing ever that you can even think of is going to be better than that. And all of that is on the other side of you handing your ego to the light, stopping worrying about sort of feeding all these silly voices in the mind that demand things, and surrendering yourself to a spiritual life where you are an instrument for the grace, an instrument for the grace, an instrument for the grace. So may you become truly liberated. May you become an instrument for the grace. May you experience the bliss and the joy and the love that is available for you when you align with the spiritual power, the almighty power, the divine love, the divine freedom. May you experience all things that are possible when you're willing to take that step and humbly offer your life to service, to purity, to peace, to love, to light. Everything you want and more is on the other side of that decision. Sending you so much love and blessings. Go deep. Be deeply humble and honest. Breathe into it and just allow that which is guaranteed to happen for us all. Allow that to occur in your life and in your heart.